Would you like to reserve some rebuttal time?
Yes, Your Honor. 4 minutes, please.
Okay, certainly. Thank
Counsel,
you.
Counsel, before you begin, have you looked at the both sentencing orders in this case?
Both sentencing orders, Your Honor? I have reviewed the sentencing order signed by Judge Melvin. Was there an additional one?
Yeah. Credit for time served. The defendant shall be given credit for the time spent in confinement while awaiting trial pursuant to Section 1. Doesn't that resolve your issue on appeal?
Your Honor, it may, but I can tell the court that was certainly not Judge Melvin's position at the trial court. So it may be a Scrivener's error on behalf of the judge that neither I
appealed. Counsel made that argument specifically that you judge, you need to give him credit.
Yes, Your Honor.
The trial court never responded to that argument, but entered these two sentencing orders giving him credit for time served. Take a minute.
If I may, Your Honor, thank you.
I don't mean to ambush you, but
Your Honor, I apologize. That is certainly an oversight. It was certainly not Judge Melvin's intention to award Mr. Blunt credit.
The court speaks through its orders.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Let me ask a question a little bit more on the merits.
Yes, sir.
Your basic complaint is that the defendant is being held when he shouldn't. He should be entitled, at least or should be entitled to an earlier release, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, he should have been entitled to an earlier release.
The law requires the court to impose an indefinite sentence.
That's correct.
And leaves entirely up to Department of Juvenile Justice the authority to decide when to release someone.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So the trial court doesn't have any say in when the defendant gets released. How can we say the trial court erred when the error, if any, is with DJJ and their release decision?
Your Honor, aside from the oversight with regards to the sentencing order, so now here assuming that the judge did not give credit.
Yeah, assuming it didn't. I mean, how do we say you erred?
Had the order not explicitly stated that Mr. Blunt be entitled to the credit, and the judge straight up declined to give Mr. Blunt the credit, then the judge is erring by not giving Mr. Blunt the credit.
And I'm not a big one for citing unpublished cases, as my colleagues will I'm sure attest.
Unless I write them.
But there is an unpublished case that's directly on point and says that we don't have jurisdiction to tell DJJ what to do and what not to do. That would be in a habeas proceeding. And there's no error when the trial court imposes the sentence that the law requires, that being an indeterminate term of committed.
Your Honor, I think that there's still error. I think that there's a different error than I was initially intending to argue today.
Why is Jarrett incorrect?
I think Jarrett is not incorrect in the sense that, assuming that the sentencing order says, as the sentencing order in this case does, that the defendant is entitled to credit, I don't think that Jarrett is incorrect. I think the issue that I was anticipating more arguing today is under the circumstances when the judge declines to award credit to a juvenile. When the judge orders credit, but DJJ does not apply that credit, then I agree that the appropriate remedy would be against DJJ in some form. But when a judge does not order that credit be granted at all, that is when the error becomes against the judge, against the circuit court's decision. But I still think that in either circumstance, we have an issue right now with lower courts that courts are just being They're all coming to different conclusions on this. Some judges are giving credit, some judges are not giving credit to juveniles. I think that the underlying issue is that there's no acknowledgement from a higher court that juveniles do have a constitutional right to be awarded the credit.
How does this work? Explain this, how does this work? It's an indeterminate sentence, right?
Yes, that's
so,
correct.
So that means that DJJ releases the juvenile when it wants to.
That's correct, Judge.
How do you give credit for time served to an indeterminate sentence? Is DJJ supposed to say, we've decided that we're going to release you 6 months down the road, but we'll give you credit for time served and just release you today?
I think as a practical matter, DJJ can't do that, which is the crux of part of the issue here.
Why should we decide a case that is meaningless? I mean, it doesn't have any application.
Your Honor, it's not meaningless because the appellant's position in this case that Code Section 53.1-187 as well as 16.1-284, I believe it is, the statute which requires that DJJ commitments shall be indeterminate in combination with the fact that the juveniles are not being given that credit towards the indeterminate commitment. The indeterminate commitment itself, the shall be indeterminate commitment, is in and of itself unconstitutional because of the way it has turned out to operate.
Three judges of this court in Jarrett disagree with you because they wrote, thus, while Code Section 53.1-187 has no applicability to juveniles in Jarrett's situation and may not serve as authority for the trial court's directive. Even though the trial court wanted to do it, the statute has no application.
That's correct, Your Honor, that the court in Jarrett did state that without actually, first of all, without addressing the rationale beneath that. That is one issue. But the other issue, Your Honor, is that these determinate commitments, in and of themselves, when you're not giving juveniles credit towards an indeterminate commitment, that in and of itself is unconstitutional. By denying them credit, you are locking up children and not giving them the credit for the time that they're detained towards this indeterminate commitment. As a practical matter, I would concede that no, you cannot take finite days off from an indeterminate commitment. That is the crux of the issue, though, is that that is exactly what is happening throughout Virginia, is that juveniles are being committed indeterminately. They're being sent to DJJ. Now there's no judicial review. DJJ, over here, in and of itself, is deciding when they should let these children go and when they shouldn't.
But isn't that a policy argument that you should make to the General Assembly as opposed to a legal argument? We don't write the statutes.
That's correct, Your Honor, that you don't write the statutes. However, the reason that we have checks and balances, the reason that we have judicial review, is that sometimes inadvertently the General Assembly writes such statutes that end up being unconstitutional in the way that they're applied. But certainly I don't believe was ever the General Assembly's intention was to deny juveniles their constitutional rights, but that's not what's happening here. Juveniles are being denied due process. They're being denied equal protection.
Your argument might be sound if the court didn't give you the relief that you asked for.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I mean, there might be another case at some point where we need to address that, and I think that's a sound issue, but not here.
Well, and before you think about addressing that, you might want to look at the Lama case versus Commonwealth, which is 8 Virginia App 320. But I think the panel clearly agrees with Judge Frank. Do you have any other arguments that are specific to the case that we have here today in reference to the final order?
I mean, in the bottom line, you got the order, gave you what you wanted?
Yes, Your Honor, the order did. Whether that was carried out by DJJ, I think we do run into a juror issue, that the claim may now be against DJJ by some sort of way.
If Department of Juvenile Justice said, sorry, fella, we're not going to give you any credit, that's a separate issue that you need to resolve administratively, don't you? Or at least not through the Court of Appeals.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate
your candor with the court.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Now, counsel, you want to pull the feet out of the jaws of victory?
No, Your Honor. May it please the court, Aaron Campbell, on behalf of the Commonwealth. I was going to start with where you started, Judge Frank, and I apologize for not making this argument on brief. I realized this when I was preparing for oral argument that, indeed, on 177 and 179, the sentencing orders do say that that there was sentencing credit given while awaiting trial, and that's the relief that the appellate requested, and that if they have an issue with it, then they need to file an extraordinary writ, a writ of habeas corpus, against the Department of Juvenile Justice. This is actually what happened to Jared. That's the issue that happened to Jared. There are a lot of other interesting issues in the case. I'm hesitant to bring them up, and I, unless the court has questions, I would just rely on my brief.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Right. We don't have any questions.
Thank you.
And ma'am, you had some rebuttal time. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the court?
I have nothing further at this time. Thank you for your time.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Okay.